Lord, we have just sung songs, we've heard scripture, we have a visual of bread before us. I pray that today we will understand what it is to know Jesus as the bread of life. But not just to know it in our minds, but to know it in our hearts and to live it out. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. As I continued to work on today's message, I realized I could have changed the title. And this might be something that helps you remember kind of where we're going today. Along with Jesus is the bread of life would be following for loaves, not for love. If you think about it, this is what Jesus is talking about at first to the people that we just heard about in the scripture. They were following for loaves, not for love. Even today, people follow Christ and truly consider themselves to be following Christ, not because of their love for God and the Son, God the Father and God the Son, but because of what they feel they may get from God. In other words, they're following God to sort of get their ticket punch. If they follow God and follow all the rules, it means their troubles will go away, pain will subside, health will return, and money will be no issue. It is good to pray for these things. God wants us to talk to Him honestly about all of these aspects of life. But in the midst of this, God wants us to focus on what is most important. If you think back, many of you were here last week, and last week we talked about Jesus and the feeding of the 5,000. Now, many of these people, we're continuing in the same chapter, by the way. We're continuing in the same scripture. Many of these people were literally following Jesus from where He was to the next place. But Jesus understood it was not because they had heard His message and understood who Jesus was and how He could help them in their relationship with God the Father. It was because He had fed their physical hunger. He had filled their bellies. And that's what He said. But even still, He did not turn His back on these people. But He honestly challenged them to realize that this was not to be their ultimate pursuit. They were not to follow Jesus just to get their bellies filled. They were not to follow Jesus just so their immediate needs could be better. He's saying that there's something more to this, and I want you to know it. I want you to hear it. I want you to realize that we, as a group of believers, strive to hear this scripture and live it out. And one of those examples, we have a benevolence fund. And so there are people that will have needs, and they'll come and they'll ask for help with different things, with electric bills, with food, with different things that they may have, and we have an application for them to fill out. Now, part of this is to weed out people that may just be coming to see if they can get money or not, but it's an application, and the majority of the time they come back in, we can send it to them electronically, but we have them to bring it back into us, and I try as often as possible to sit down and meet with each of these people as they come in and have a conversation with them. To hear their story, to listen. And then in the midst of that, I also try to offer encouragement. And I try to help them see that while we want to meet whatever need we can to the best of our ability, whatever physical need there is, that God also desires to be a part of whatever may be happening in their life, even the things that we don't know about. And so hopefully we're trying to live that out. It's kind of a similar situation. I was in Charlottesville this week, and when you drive there, a lot of times you'll see people standing on the corners and they're wanting money. And I saw, just when they were standing there, this guy, two cars just stopped by and handed money out the window. And I began thinking, and while God may have led those people to give money, and that may have been very appropriate, and I'm not saying not to, I think more times than not, for me,
instead of simply taking money and giving it to someone and not knowing anything about their story or what they may use it for or how it's concerned, that God desires there to be relationship. I have a relationship with God, and that's the most important thing in my life. And if I'm to help someone else, the best way I'm going to be able to do that is to share that relationship with them. And yes, it takes time. Yes, it takes sacrifice. Yes, if I'm on my way, it means that I would have to stop what I'm doing. I would have to change my schedule. I may even have to change my priorities. But I believe that God desires to use us in ways to do more than simply give handouts. And I believe that's what God does for us. And he's trying to tell the people in the scripture that as well. In fact, and I hope, Joey, you'll be okay with this, I'm going to share something that we had a little bit of a discussion about in our last deacons meeting. If you were here a few weeks ago, we had a community worship service. There were over 100 people here. And it was amazing, phenomenal. Good time had by all. And one of the things we talked about in the deacons meeting, it came up, and Joey was a part of one saying this, and said, you know, that's great that we have the people come, but we have to remember what's most important and be willing and able to share that with them as well. Not simply have something to attract people and they come and that be what they're coming for. And he's exactly right. And that's what we as a church, that's what we as believers need to be aware of. Now, Jesus did the miracle. Jesus did the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus did what was needed to attract the crowds. And I believe that we as believers are to do that too. Do whatever we can to introduce people to Christ. But then we don't just stop there. We don't just have the big events. We don't just say, wow. We have a relationship because, you know, if people really want entertainment, if they really want to have a good time, if they really want fun, I'm thinking eventually the church isn't going to be the place that's going to fulfill that again and again and again. I believe if they're really coming and seeking, there's something they want more. And if we aren't willing to give it to them, we're falling short of what God calls us to do. Right. This is what Jesus is saying to the people that are following him. He cared for them. He will continue to care for them. But he says, you're chasing after the wrong thing. You're chasing after the things that are going to go away. So then we have the question that comes to us. What are we working for? What are we seeking in following Christ? And if we really are honest with ourselves, sometimes we may be seeking money or health, the approval of others, or even power. All of these things are temporal. All of these things will eventually fade away. And just as I said earlier, it is good to pray for these things, to talk to God honestly about this. But these are things that will spoil. Consider the kid in the dollar store. If you're a parent, you've probably had this happen. They see a toy, and all of a sudden their eyes connect to it, and it immediately becomes the best toy in the world. And if they get that toy, their life is going to be changed forever. And they feel like that's the most important thing there, and they look to you with these longing eyes. Please. I won't ever ask for anything ever again in my entire life. They want it that badly. And they really believe that. But you know that toy is not going to last 30 minutes once they start playing with it. Because you know how it's made. And even if it does, they're going to lose it and it's going to fall somewhere and they're not going to get it back. And it's not going to provide for them what they think it is. And so you say no because you want to, in your wisdom, provide them with something in a different way that's going to have more meaning, and it may mean waiting, but you're saying no, this isn't what's most important. God does the same thing to us. He tells us not to chase after those things that spoil. We are to seek first and foremost after Christ.
I shared this recently. One of my favorite verses is Psalm 37:4. And it says, take delight in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Now, God wants us to be happy. God wants to bless us. And it says that God will give us the desires of our heart. But what's the first part of that verse? Take delight in the Lord. There are different versions of it. There's one version that says basically hang out with God and you'll be blessed. And that's true, because you know what? Just as your child, if they spend enough time with you and have conversation with you, they're going to understand why you're saying no to the little trinket that they want. And when we're close enough with God and have those relationships with God and can hear what God is saying to us, then we begin, what we desire goes aligned in line with what God desires for us. And it's such a greater blessing than what we thought we wanted to start with.
So, Jesus tries to explain this to the people that are there. And so then the question comes in verse 29, what must we do to perform the works of God? What's his response? Has someone got that?
John 6, verse 29. What must we do to perform the works of God?
To believe in the one he has sent. Now, they said, okay, God, what have we got to do? How do we get this? And they're ready just to tackle whatever it is. And he says simply,
believe in the one who was sent. Now, we need to understand what this means, because, again, we can just go by this.
Well, I believe that. That's done. I'm good. There's a difference in believing he was sent and believing in the one that was sent. Because, you see, even Satan believes that Jesus was sent. Satan knows. He doesn't just believe it. He knows that he was there. That Jesus Christ was sent. He died on the cross. For everyone's sins who chooses to believe in him, he was buried, he conquered death, he rose again after 3 days. And Satan believes that. But Satan does not believe in Jesus Christ. To do the works of God, we have to believe in the one who was sent.
And to believe in him means that we must trust him. How have you done in trusting God this week?
In what you've gone about doing, has God been a part of your daily routine?
Secondly, we must give him the benefit of the doubt. Now that sounds crazy when it comes to God.
You're going to give God the benefit of the doubt? Of course you are. But how many times, if you're really honest with yourself, have you felt maybe God wants you to do something and in your head you're saying, are you sure about this, God? We need to be willing to trust God
further than what we're comfortable doing sometimes. And then thirdly, I would say we need to base our reputation on God. We have a reputation.
And sometimes we don't want that reputation to fail. We don't want that reputation to be tarnished. And sometimes we know that people look at us at what we've accomplished, what we're going to accomplish, how something's going to go, what our view of success is going to be. But if we're really going to do something the way God wants us to do it, does that mean that we're really going to risk our reputation? We're going to risk what other people expect us to do what God calls us to do instead?
Are we willing to risk our reputation or to base our reputation on God? That's what it means to believe in Jesus Christ.
Not just to believe that Jesus was real, not just to believe that Jesus did this, but to have such a relationship that we believe in him.
That our life is different because of it. So do you see the difference between following after the prize of having everything checked and following after Jesus Christ himself? And then the last question here is, where do you get your bread?
Now, as Jesus is having the conversation here,
where were the followers, the people that were coming up to him?
they were having these conversations about something that happened in the Old Testament, and where did they say the Israelites got their bread from? In the scripture we just read, who was responsible for giving it to them? Who did that these people say was responsible for giving the bread to the Israelites? Moses. What did Jesus say? He said, yeah, you're right. You pay attention to your Old Testament scripture. Is that what he said? Was it Moses that gave it to him? No, it was God. And that's what he wanted them to be able to see. For us, this means we understand that all of this that we're talking about, the relationship with God, what's important to our life, our faith, all of that, it does not come from me, the pastor that's standing up here. It does not come from Woodland Baptist Church. It does not come from serving on committees and doing mission work. It does not come from putting money in the offering plate. None of that is going to bring you to the point of having the life God desires you to have, either on this earth or in the next. Because it's about a relationship. Now, if we have that relationship with God, and I do, I'm going to do everything I can as a pastor to try to share the word in a way that God uses me to speak how he sees fit to those that are here. And if Woodland Baptist Church is being the church God calls it to be, we're going to offer opportunities for people in our community to connect with God and to grow and be introduced to who God is. And as we come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we will yearn to work for him in the kingdom, and ways of doing that will include serving on committees and doing mission work and contributing resources, our resources that God blesses us with in whatever ways God sees to use them. So all of these become a part. But the problem is when we think these things in and of themselves are what's going to get us the life that we want. It's not. Those come after we've accepted Christ and who he is and made him Lord of our life. God may fulfill your immediate need. And he may do that as a way of getting your attention, a way of letting him know that you care, that he cares for you and loves you. And God does that on a regular basis. But I promise you, in the midst of that, God is also trying to communicate to you, I want for you so much more. It's not just being willing to, it's not just me giving you the things you can see or the things you think you want. It's me being able to give you and bless you with things you can't even. That's what God wants to do, not only for us, but for all those he created. So I would ask you today, those questions that you see in your bulletin. Then to conclude, where are you really getting your bread? How are you being fed? And if you think about it, each one of us, every day, every week, we're feeding ourselves. We're keeping ourselves going with something. And sometimes, literally, we're more focused. Some people focus more on food than anything else, and sometimes the Baptists fall into that category. Eating becomes more important to us than anything else. Some of us, what we're feeding ourselves on are our jobs. And literally, our jobs are more important to us than anything else. And if we don't have our job, our life is destroyed. Or maybe it's our family, and family is a good thing, but we base everything so much on family. And I have a question, has family ever let you down? Has family ever entered into conflict? And if you have nothing foundational to base that on, family begins to let you down and you spiral down as well. But if we place God where God desires to be, deserves to be, wants to be, and he's the foundation. I'm not saying all of these things magically become what they're supposed to be, but they line up a lot more easily. And they don't have so much priority that if one of them falls down, your whole world falls apart, because our world is not based on these things that spoil. Our world is based on our relationship with Christ, because we are His. I'm going to ask our musicians to come. And as they do, this will be an opportunity for you to share. And I just realized this went pretty quickly. Anybody upset about that? I see some smiles. And there, I could talk some more, but I think the point today is short and sweet. And so instead of me talking and you just having to listen to me more, I encourage you to really think now. And as we leave from here, about the simple, short, brief message that came from the Scripture that Ed read. And maybe just looking back at those questions that are in the bulletin and trying to honestly answer them and let the Spirit lead you. You are invited not by me, but by God Himself to interact with Him in that way right now. And as we have this time of invitation, I will be here at the front. I would love to enter that conversation with you. If you feel that there's a pressing need to talk about that right now, I would love to pray with you. The altar's open. You don't have to come to me. You can kneel and pray. And I'm not trying to give you an out. If God's leading you in those ways, that's something you should respond to. But for all of us, we should continue this conversation with God as we depart the next day and the next and the next. Jesus is the bread of life.
Amen.
Will you accept? Let's stand together and sing hymn number 307.
We're going to sing 2, 3, and 4.